Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 120. Hi. Hey, what's up? I'm Gabe.
I'm Josiah.
And this is a show by the fans.
For the fans.
And we are actually in the same room together for the first time in a while.
Yeah, it's
true. How about that?
I haven't seen you. You got a haircut.
I did. Actually, it's so hot that my hair just fell out.
Oh, okay, it is. It went, in our area, it went straight from 40 degrees and raining every day to it's 95 degrees outside right now.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I hate it.
But speaking of the opposite of brutal, we've got a great episode today. We've got Miss Angie on the show.
Yes, I'm excited. This is a legend in my mind.
Yes, I am so excited when I heard that she was releasing new music. So I was like, hey, this will be a great opportunity to finally catch up with her and talk with her. And our friend Chrissy Nichols helped set this up. So shout out to Chrissy Nichols. She gave me she let me know about the new music and she helped set it up. How about that?
That's really cool. I play soccer with Chrissy every once in a while. You know,
she was on the first soccer team I ever played on.
Oh really?
How about that?
She probably started over you too.
Oh, no doubt. Everybody did. But yeah, before we head into that, we need to talk about our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. If you can go on there and support our show, you can have access to bonus episodes. And we are going to be talking about a lot of things on the bonus show today. Catching up, we haven't had a bonus episode for a little over a month. And we're going to be talking about live concerts coming back.
What?
When you actually like go and see concerts, kind of what that vibe is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm actually super excited. Yeah.
I actually recently went to one of those drive-in concerts, and maybe I'll share my experience with that, whether I liked it or either I didn't like it, or you know. But you know, and maybe we'll even talk a little bit about some of our experiences at concerts.
Yeah, I'm
rank our favorite ones of all time.
Ooh. Okay.
That'll be tricky. But that's only at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as a dollar a month, you can join our team. And thanks to all those that have supported us. But without further ado, Miss Angie, she was somebody that I listened to probably in middle school or so, probably the late 90s, and she put out two really, really good albums on Mer Records, and she didn't completely go away, but she did have like a sabbatical, if you will, but she's back.
I just remember she came into our area, our small little town, and
yes,
that was massive when I was growing up.
It was.
Was she at the same show with Joy Electric and Bleach?
Yes.
That was the same show.
Same show. How about that for a
Holy
lineup?
Holy crap. What a show that was.
That was quite the diverse lineup. But, yeah, I remember that show, and we actually talk about that show in the interview. So I won't get into it anymore. Without further ado, here is our interview with Miss Angie.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
I remember listening to you when I was probably in middle school, and so.
Oh no way!
Yeah,
oh.
Like I remember specifically, you were on a tour with Bleach that came to our area, probably like 1999 or so.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But I'm just kind of curious because I, you know, beyond listening to you at that age, I don't really know a whole lot about like your background. Like, what were some of the things that you listened to growing up?
Growing up, I was in a Christian home, so my parents had like the typical Christian music legacy artists like Amy Grant and Petra, like vintage Petra. And then that morphed into like Stryper and lots of Leslie Phillips, just like really old school Christian music. Now, they didn't let me listen to anything but Christian music when I was growing up. So that kind of made an imprint, all those Christian lyrics and all that spirit of God on those artists really imprinted on me. So
So how did you get from listening to Amy Grant to how your style ended up being?
Well, I always loved pop music. So when I was a little kid, I secretly liked Madonna. And so whenever I was 16 and had my own car, well, it was Hello, Madonna, The Cranberries, Guns N' Roses, even Metallica. And so I had a really like broad variety mix of things that I liked. So
did you have to like sneak that or something?
Not so much. You know, they kind of got more lenient when we got old enough to drive and go our own way. So they didn't. Yeah, they were not strict then. It was just when we were really little.
So when did you decide that that's what you wanted to do? Like what age did you like get interested in actually performing?
Well, I always liked singing. And my parents were in the music group at church. And so I was always there for the music practices, you know, in an hour before church. And I just kind of grew up in a culture of always being around in the worship culture. And I liked it. And I just didn't know if I was ever going to do anything with it. I did play piano. And my dad was one of these dudes that liked to do evangelistic meetings in parking lots where he would set up his amp and invite some friends to jam. And then they would like tell their testimony. It's very 70-ish. I don't know. But so my dad would like kind of invite me to be a part of the rock band in those settings. So I would get on the microphone and eventually I made it to the keyboard. And just following my dad around doing that. And then my brother, he got signed to Goatee on Johnny Q Public, and they began to do a lot of shows in the teen market of CCM. And I would go do with them, I would sell their t-shirts, and then I would come up and I would sing the altar call music.
Oh, wow.
And that was back when like they always did an altar call. And yeah, it was like a big part of like their show. Or, you know, or like the thing what they came into town to do. So that's kind of how I got into it. And from that, my dad, he was like, you need to make a demo tape because you need to get signed too. And I was like, no, I'm not a good singer. I don't know. And he was like, well, you're not going to live here in this house unless you go make a demo tape. So he made me, and I ended up getting signed off that a 2-song demo tape with Word, Myrrh Records. And it was just really effortless. Like I didn't really do anything. I just kind of barely made the demo and it got passed around. And then lots of people wanted to sign me. I mean, Toby Mac was calling me at my house and it was an exciting time because So then I did the whole couple of albums and toured for about 3 years. And then I was very jaded and burnout from the road and ministry and things like that. And I just needed to reset. So.
So how old were you when you started touring with Johnny Q and then when you eventually signed, how old were you then?
Okay. I was probably 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Long time ago.
So would you say that experience for you, I'm sure that there was a lot of positives in that experience, but what you said that you became jaded. What were some things that made you jaded?
Well, I think the enemy goes pretty hard after those that are on the front lines of telling the gospel and worshiping and testifying. And I was trying to do that. I was trying to preach to the generation. I was very biblically, I like to share Bible. I was interested in singing about the Bible, preaching from the Bible. So I think the enemy probably did come after me, and I just, you know, God knew that I was going to be tested and sifted, and that it was going to take some time before I would, you know, return to my heart the way that it needed to be so he could use me again. But there was that, and there was just you kind of get weary out on the road a little bit. You're living out of a suitcase in a van or a bus, and you're not really connecting with a lot of people. You're kind of blowing into town and shaking a lot of hands and hugging people and signing autographs and staying up all night. And it's very strange life. And I, as a girl, became heavily wanting to have my own family and be domesticated after that. So that's what I did.
So eventually, when you came off the road, when did you start having a longing to make music again? And what was that process like for you?
Yeah, well, I made my second record, Triumphantine, and I was very heavy-handed in the production of it and the sound of it. And my label just didn't like it. They didn't get it that much. They didn't think it would sell. They didn't promote it. And I think from a musician's standpoint, people would come up, like musicians, and be like, I love your second record. You know, like musicians got it. And it was a fun artistic expression, but my label just was like, nah, I don't think this is going to go over that great. Nobody's going to get it. So I was really burned out that I made something that was really amazing to me in my artistic expression, but it was not sellable. So I just was like, I don't even want to hear music. I don't want to listen to music. I just want to go do like manual labor. So I went and got a job as a house cleaner and then started to just try to start my family. And I didn't really want to listen to music or do anything. So it took several years before I started going to the piano and writing again. I just needed a really long break to get my appetite for songwriting and expression that way again. Hmm. So yeah, it was several years. I came out with a record called Time and Space that I made in the 2000s. And that was the kind of the in-between from then and now for Desert Flags.
Yeah, well, and we'll get to Desert Flags. I know that has been a project that you've had been going on for about 2 years. This whole the pandemic that's been going on, how has that affected not only making this album, but just kind of your life? Like, how's your mental health? Like, how has all that been going on?
Well, I guess my mental health was just fine. I didn't mind the whole staying in with everybody and shutting down everything, because you can get really creative in those kind of moments when you have lots of time. And Jesus was just as sweet and good every day of the pandemic as he was not on the pandemic. So for me, it really wasn't a change there. But we did have plans to go record, and that did get changed. We had to send files back and forth, and I had to sing out of my closet and in, you know, bedrooms and things like that, which took away from the fun of like, oh, I'm getting to go be in some epic studio with an epic producer and, you know, have this experience. But at the end of the day, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it to write songs to testify about God. So I'm up for whatever he has, whatever pathway that is. So that was a little bit of that difficulties, but I'm just really glad to be done with it now. And the whole thing, I had to switch producers in the middle of it and finish it with another producer. Hmm. And we did share files as well, but and that part went really good. So
you did you worked with Gabriel Wilson on this, who's written a lot of really good stuff, and he's been a part of producing a lot of really good stuff. How was that experience with you working with him?
Oh, he's amazing. He's a genius. He's just like a pop rock genius. His sonic sound is amazing. Everything he creates sonically and everything he writes is top notch. And so that I was really excited to work with him. He's very busy and has a lot on his plate. And so it's hard to get in with him and get things nailed down. Sometimes with creatives, it's like that. It's hard to finish things and stuff. So, but he really helped me songwriting. He really pushed me. We did song coaching for several months before everything was ready for Desert Flags. So yeah, he's a genius.
So the album itself, Desert Flags, when I listened to it, one of the themes that I got out of it was joy. And I don't know what were some things that you decided to write about it? That was one thing that I noticed, but what were some other things that you decided to do the season of life that ended up on this album?
That is so cool that I love to hear the personal takeaways from people's experience with it, that you got joy. I love that. There is a lot of joy going on. That describes me, definitely. Obviously, there's a lot of prophetic themes about the end times. That's ingrained in me. That's something that I've always got on my mind frame, is the whole scope of eternity. And so that came out. A lot of personal overflow of just the awesomeness of God, thankfulness and praise to him. I love singing to the Lord and about him. So that's easy to do.
Yeah. So like singing through about joy, a lot of people have really struggled with that within the last year, with the pandemic, and you know, a lot of people have suffered from, you know, all kinds of job loss, and there's just been a lot of, it's been a hard season for a lot of people. So when you speak about joy and when you sing about joy, what would you tell somebody that's really going through a hard time like that?
Oh gosh, that's so heavy when you say it like that. I feel bad automatically, like, oh yeah, maybe I'm not supposed to be happy. I feel so bad now that you say it that way.
Well, I think it's important that there's a difference between like joy and happiness. And I think you highlighting that could also be positive for so many people that this is something that they need to hear right now, you know?
Oh, I get you. Yeah, that's true. I think that's true what you just said right there, is that there's a state of joy and happiness, and the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, the thing that makes us strong. And yeah, how do you have joy when you're constantly disappointed and everything you hoped for is not going the way you wanted or planned or thought, and you got to rearrange everything and you don't have enough, those kind of feelings and circumstances. I think that, you know, the daily bread of the word of God's like word is so important, because, and not the stale bread from yesterday, but the new fresh manna for today is the only thing that's going to get you through today. And I think when we lean into that, he's faithful to feed us. He's faithful to feed our soul. I mean, every day is not going to be a happy day, but it can be a fulfilled day in the Lord. I mean, I'm a girl and I go through mood swings, let me tell you. So I'm not somebody that's just always happy bouncing around. I have some sharp mood swings, especially in my age that I'm at right now. But the word of God, you know, Jesus is like, I think is just the good daily bread. I feel like I'm starving if if I don't connect with him every day with getting his word in me somehow or surrounding me. So even in that, there's sad moments, there's hard moments, there's frustrated moments, there's depressed moments. But so I don't know how people do it without the Lord. I really don't even know. But I'm always like, you can't get anything in this life unless God gives it to you. Like, there's no pleasure to be had. Hardly. There's no satisfaction. He's the giver of like every single thing. Like, so I've learned that lesson.
That's good.
So, you know, the Bible, I heard Rich Mullins say this. There's a reason that the Lord commands us to worship him. Like, it's a command. And that's because there's times when you do not feel like it. We don't do it when we feel like it. But I know that every time that I make myself open up my mouth and stir my soul to recite the good things of the Lord, that your soul, it gets lifted. He's the lifter of our head. So I don't have an easy fix or a formula, but that's a long-winded answer.
That's good. So I know you've released this EP to those that supported it through crowdfunding. When can everybody else expect to be able to buy this and be available?
Oh, yeah. So it is actually soon, May 25th.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it'll be the perfect album for your Memorial Day cookout.
Exactly. I need to have like a concert on my deck. That sounds fun. Yeah.
So this is kind of a fun question. This is the last one. And we asked this with a lot of people. If you could get in a time machine and go back to when you were 20 years old, and just signed with Myrrh Records, what would you tell yourself?
Oh my gosh, it's going to take me forever to think about. Oh my goodness. Is this supposed to be like a serious answer or a funny answer?
It can just be, you know, maybe, I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, I'm speechless right now. I'm so speechless. I would have to ponder that for a while. What would I do in a time machine back in as age 20? My mind can't even comprehend that at the moment. So I maybe would say take a smaller break, Angie, from music, not a very like decade. Don't take a decade break. Take a smaller time of a break and maybe shop your music around in the industry before you get all the way 25 years later and you don't have any contacts or phone numbers anymore. So I would say maybe keep up with those connections, Angie. Don't just go rogue. But there was no telling me, you know, so.
I understand. Well, thank you for your time. For the record, I did like your second album, so it wasn't that it's not true that nobody liked it. That's not true, because I liked it. And
thank you.
And I like Desert Flags too. I'm excited about I'm excited that other people get to hear this. And thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
That was our interview with Miss Angie. We'd really like to thank Miss Angie for spending some time with us talking about her new music. And if you didn't hear on the interview, she has brand new music that just released. It's called Desert Flags. And it was so much fun to listen to this EP after not really hearing much from Miss Angie for the last few years. I remember hearing that the recent Time and Space EP that she did, but I feel like this was like more in her wheelhouse than even that. And there's a few tracks on there that I really, really dig. And I don't know, it's just really, really good to hear her voice again.
I was surprised at how good her voice is. And yeah, not that she ever had a bad voice, but thinking back, the thing that I always liked about her was some of her rockier sounding music, like the 100,000 million zillion eyeballs or whatever, however many eyeballs.
How many eyeballs?
There was a bunch of eyeballs. Okay. But I just remember some of that stuff, and it was almost more Flyleaf, and this album, Desert Flags, feels more Plum, like piano driven. And I was just really impressed with her voice on this album.
Yeah, it was it's really good. I mean, there's some tracks that sound like Plum, I guess you would say. Alive, I think, sounds kind of like vintage Paramore a little bit. But you know, it's so good, and you guys should check it out. Again, it's Desert Flags, and you can find that wherever you listen to music. So before we head off into the sunset, there's something we need to talk about.
I'm ready. You didn't tell me what we're talking about.
Well, so last week or so, whenever, based on how we recorded this, there was an article that came out about Kevin Max on ChristianPost.com.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
I think it's ChristianPost.com. I don't really care if I butcher that. It doesn't really matter. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because our podcast was mentioned in the article. And it was interesting.
Thanks for listening, Christian Post.
Yes. 6 months later. Anyway, so I'm not going to lie to you. I started this podcast in a large part because I love music. I love what music brings to the table. I love the conversations that music can bring about. But aside from that, I also really appreciate good journalism. And I feel like we have, in a lot of ways, contributed to some journalism within like the Christian market the last few years. You know, a lot of articles have been written based on our website. Not a lot of times do they give credit to us, but we'll leave that there. At least Christian Post gave us some credit when it came to that, but that's besides the point. This article was, for all intents and purposes, and I'll explain this later, it was a pro wrestling dirt sheet article. And by that I mean, if you're not into pro wrestling, dirt sheets are, so if you watch pro wrestling, it's, yes, I know, it's not real, it's staged, but there's a lot behind the curtain that a lot of fans don't always know about. And a lot of fans kind of imagine what goes on behind the curtain. And the dirt sheets kind of are the ones that write about what supposedly goes on behind the curtain based on some things that they hear here and there. And sure, every now and then, there are some hints of truth when it comes to those articles. But there are a lot of these articles, and some of these articles by specific people, that people will take as gospel and will take every word as 100% truth just based on a couple things that they heard. So what happened when this Christian Post article was, they read a couple social media posts from Kevin here and there. They took an excerpt, a couple sentences from a podcast we did with him 6 months ago a 30-minute interview, and that was it. That was the article, and it was written for an audience that they knew would eat it up, and it was nothing more than an article to generate clicks, if, you know.
Clickbait trash?
Yes. And the result of that, later on, Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze, would pick it up. Other media outlets, maybe not as big, but other media outlets pretty much grabbed it. And so, as a result, a lot of people have listened to our show. And if you're still listening, hey, nice to have you. But I'm pretty upset about this because... Maybe not only because of the way that the article is written, because A, Kevin is a really approachable guy. You could ask him about this topic, and I'm sure he would love to talk to you about it and actually give you answers that you want rather than you just grab things here and there. But be that as it may, you wrote the article. And the result was a lot of backlash, a lot of really odd, threatening backlash. And I don't know. It's disappointing to see. But I know that that's the world that we live in. There are media outlets that know how to trigger a certain fan base, and that's what happened. And... unfortunately, our podcast was front and center when it came to that. I'm not going to apologize for having Kevin on to talk about what's going on in his life. That's part of the conversation that I want this podcast to have. Real life conversations about what they're going through at the time. But like, I don't know. When I see some of the comments, it reminds me a lot of the negative experiences I've had. And sometimes those thoughts make you wonder, should I even be doing this? Like, is this something I'm still enjoying? And I had a day or two of that. But now that I've had a chance to really think about it, I know that there are a lot of people that listen to it and get the same thing out of it that I do. And that's appreciating great art, appreciating the conversation, appreciating asking the questions that aren't easy to ask, and maybe there's not any answers to it, but, you know, I could go on and on about this, but I felt that it was something that we needed to at least address.
You've been very polite in your rebuttal, and I'm sure that I probably would not have been as polite as you, so good job on that. Thank you for all the listeners, whether you love or hate us or Kevin Max or whoever we have featured on the show, and hit that subscribe button and you can listen to us all the time.
Yeah, and like, I realize that our show is not for everybody. I realize it's for a small audience of people. I get that. But I hope one thing that our show has done is to encourage those conversations, encourage maybe some aspiring journalists out there to do their own thing and not rely on just taking things from the internet. Like, it's easier now than ever to contact people and get their firsthand opinion. And I mean, we are the perfect example of that. We are people in West Virginia, hundreds of miles away from Nashville. We're not music insiders, and we've been doing the show 120 episodes now. I mean, that is proof that you can totally do it.
Yeah, if Gabe can contact Miss Angie or Kevin Max or Michael Tate or whoever he's had on the show, and someone that lives in Tennessee could probably do the same.
Yeah. So
dream big, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So, and if you have the resources of Christian Post or The Blaze, I'm sure you probably could figure it out. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. Guys, we appreciate those of you that are listening and are happy to be on the ride with us. Again, check out Desert Flags for Miss Angie. Really good EP. I highly recommend listening to it. It's one of the best releases from the year so far, and definitely deserves a listen. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/decentchristiantalk, Instagram, DC Talk Podcast, Facebook. There are people that are still on there that like us, and Decent Christian Talk, and there's a Decent Christian Talk podcast discussion page, Twitter, DC Talk Act 2, and am I forgetting anything? DecentChristianTalk.com.
Do we have a TikTok?
Still working on that.
I don't have any dances.
We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We are on Amazon Podcast or something, whatever. Well, I'm not sure what it's called now. But anyway, whatever you're listening to us on, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.